When the bell would ring, we would go to PE class and we'd get ready to play basketball. I was ready to play ball. But he would always take the first 5 to 10 minutes and make us stretch. You know, he used to take us and make us do that. The one I hated was the 6 inches. Anybody play football or basketball know what 6 inches is? Where you got to lay on your back and you got to raise your feet up there 6 inches and it stresses and gets you prepared to be a winner. You can play harder, you can go farther, and you have the ability to do more once you've gotten into the rhythm of allowing yourself to be stretched. What we're going to talk about this morning is stretching. Amen. I know they're not. It's weird for the girls not to be with me today. Usually, y'all, my little cheerleader, sitting over there in Jennifer's lap, screaming and hollering. If you're new with us, I have a 7-month-old, and her name is Isla, and she is, I'm telling you, the cutest baby God has ever made. I'm just going to let you know, since you can't see for yourself today, but she's also the most spoiled baby we've ever had. And I guess it's because I have a child in my later years. I tell somebody that they're like, "You got beautiful girls." I said, "Yeah." So you must really enjoy them. I said, "I did. I enjoyed the first two because I had them young. This one will be 60 when she graduates. And so, I'll be 60 when she graduates. I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy her teenage years. I enjoy her now, but like I say, I'm older. But we're in the stage with her right now that we have come to the point where I have realized that I have spoiled her in areas. Because since she's been born, if you know me and Jen at all, one of us are usually holding her. We enjoy this baby a whole lot. And the thing about it is, we had her here the other day with Roger's grandbaby. And Roger's grandbaby was born the same week as our baby. And Roger's grandbaby was holding her on bottle. And Roger's grandbaby was standing on her own legs. My baby, I don't know if she's ever put an ounce of weight on her legs. Reason why she hadn't had to is because we've always held her. So now we try to stand her up and put her on her legs, and she'll just collapse every time. We've spoiled her. All right? My baby, we wake up and, you know what I'm saying, she won't use her arms to reach toward the bottle because she's never had to. And so what we do is in the morning, it's funny, me and Jen are playing with her. Jennifer was doing it yesterday morning. We take the bottle, make it up. When she first wakes up, she wants the bottle. We hold it out there and she won't reach to get the bottle. What she does is she sticks that neck way out because she is convinced that it is our job to put that in her mouth and hold it while she gets what she wants out of it. She is spoiled rotten. We've got her to the place now where we lay her on the ground. And I did not realize how bad I was spoiling her, but she's getting into this rolling stage. And if you're a parent, you appreciate it. You can remember these days. I put her there and I would put whatever she wanted right beside her where she could just flop an arm over and get it. Jennifer told me, "Cricket, what you got to start doing now is you need to set this out of reach. Because if you don't put it out of reach, this little girl is never going to learn to get things on her own. And she's going to expect things to always be handed to her." And you ought to see the fits she's throwing right now. We put her there and, like I say, I'll take the toy she's wanting and I'll put it just out of reach. All she would have to do is stretch a little bit farther than what she's sitting there doing, and she could get it. But because she is so spoiled rotten, she's not even willing to put a little effort or energy into it. And she don't realize that it's for her own good. And, you know, I didn't realize some of the things with my first two because we were so busy and all that stuff there. But this one, I'm really understanding things about her. And, you know, how many times have I gotten to a place that God has spoiled me so bad that given me things and take care of me in ways that I've gotten so used to? When I got ready to get saved, all I had to do is say, "Daddy saved me and he saved me." When I got ready to, you know, when I got into situations, I just have to cry loud enough and I cry loud enough and God is like, would come to my rescue. And now I've gotten to a point in my life though, it seems like he's putting things a little bit out of reach. How many of you guys feel like sometimes things are out of reach? Let me let you know something. It's for your good. It is for your good. We're going to go to a story real quick because, see, God knows something about you that a lot of times you forget about you. What God knows about you is this: you are amazing. You have the capacity and the ability to do more than you have ever thought you would ever be able to do. When the Bible says he went into such great detail in forming you and making you, and he put you together in such a way that, I'm telling you, there can't be another you, because so much time, effort, and thought and gifts and talents that have been put on the inside of you, you couldn't be duplicated if you had to. God made you in such a manner, but your capacity is so large. Problem with it is, a lot of times we don't recognize our capacity. And because we don't recognize our capacity, what happens is this. We think that God is here to take care of us. I want you to know something. God loves you very much. God takes great pleasure in you. The Bible says, oh, that's why he created you. The thing about it is, God knows what your potential is. And because what God knows what your potential is, I want you to know something. Sometimes he puts us in situations where you need to stretch. Because if he were to just hand you everything you wanted, if he were to just bottle feed you your whole... Now, there is a time. There, like I say, Isla, up to this point, when we first brought her home from that hospital, we would hold her, and she couldn't even... She wasn't even able or had the capacity at that point to even... She didn't even know how to suck a bottle at that point. But if you've seen this baby, one thing she knows is how to suck a bottle. Because it's amazing the fat milk can put on a kid. And this kid is huge. The biggest kid... I told Jennifer the day, I'm either getting old or this is a fat baby, because my back hurts after I tote her around every night. This is a big kid. And me and Jen aren't big people. We could be if we did well, but this is a big kid. But there was a time she did not know how to drink the bottle on her own. So there was a season where I held that child and Jennifer held that child, and we would take great amounts of time and put those bottles in her mouth and make sure that she ate and she fed. But there come the time now that she's fixing to have to start doing it on her own. I mean, I'm not going to make her go get a job next week, but what I am going to do is I am going to quit holding that bottle for her. Because if I don't quit holding that bottle for her, then she's going to expect every single person in her life to pick up a bottle and put it in her mouth. And by doing that, it stunts her potential. I want you to know something. If you're here this morning and you feel like you are being stretched in every area, if you are being stretched to your limits, if you are extended as far as you think you can handle, I want you to know something. If you're under that kind of strain, the only reason why you're under that kind of strain is because God knows you can handle it. And if God knows you can handle it, then God knows this. You need to get strong enough to handle it, because he's got more for you than you have and can handle right now. I want to read a couple of scriptures with you. The Bible says this, there's nothing that you can't do. As a matter of fact, in Philippians 4:13, it says this. It says that you can. Really, it says I can, but I don't want to sound conceited. It says you can do all things. That is amazing the way he said that. He says you can do all things. There's not a single thing that you do not have the ability or the capacity or the power or the energy or the time or the effort to do. You can do all things, the Bible says, but not on your own. Aren't you glad you don't have to do it alone? Aren't you glad what you're going through and you're dealing with is not all on your shoulders? Because if it was just on your shoulders, then guess what? You couldn't do it. But you were created for more than what you can do. That's why the Bible says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're not in this alone. You're not going to have to do this alone. The Bible says this. The Bible says that you can do all things. I want you to know something. When you think I can't keep from getting mad, I want you to know something. You can keep from getting mad. When you think I can't keep from taking another drink, you can keep from taking another drink. When you think I can't, you know what I'm saying, get to a place where I can forgive him, you can get to a place where you can forgive him. You think, well, there's no way I can learn this new program. I'm in that place right now. I have just moved. I don't know how you older guys than me deal with this stuff. Just found myself, my computer broke down and died. And I've been running off of this computer for about 10 years, my laptop. And now might have to change and go out of Windows 7 and go into Windows 10. And I found myself in a technology gap. How many of you guys have already experienced that before? If you're my age or older, you understand that's a scary thing. I've never been in a technology gap. But I'm in this technology gap now because Windows 7 might as well be written in French. Because I'm sitting here looking at this screen, Jennifer's like flying across it, and I'm like, what in the world do I do? And just last week, I was working a computer like I'd always worked a computer, because what's happened is I found myself changing. If you're finding yourself say, thinking, you know, I can't learn these new, you can't teach old dogs new tricks, I want you to know something. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Old dogs can learn new tricks. You know the best way to teach an old dog a new trick? Give him a better prize than you give the young dogs. You give him a better prize than you give a young dog, an old dog. And I tell you, that's what the Bible talks about. Your latter being greater than your former. The older you get, the better things become. The older you get. If you're here this morning and you're living, and like I say, I am so honored every service by Brother Bill Horn sitting back there. That man lives life to 100% full. Brother Bill, you don't know this. The day you were, I was pulling through Walmart and you were going in. And I partnered, I was going to come catch up with you. And that man might as well have a race car tied to his back. Because I went through, I could not catch you, find you. I saw you going in. I went 2 hours down apart. That man lives every day to his fullest. How old are you, Brother Bill? 91. That is unbelievable. You can't tell me you're too old. You can do all things. All things. You can. Thing about it is, and God will help you get to a place where you can do all things. But before you know we go any further than what we're talking about, you need to come to understand you are amazing. You have the potential, you have the ability, and whatever impossibilities you were facing when you came in here this morning, God has an answer for you, and He's going to cause you to be able to change these circumstances. Now, I'm not going to promise they're always comfortable. As a matter of fact, most of them aren't. Right now, you would think my little baby, right now, if I could interpret baby thought, there are times in the day she thinks I'm the worst dad in the entire world. Because a week ago, I was holding a bottle for her, and now I let it fall on her belly. And she'll scream and squall, and she's in that stage right now where she's not willing to put her hands down and put it on the bottle to just pick it up. I know she has the ability because she's pulled my hair before. I know that kid's got some strength. But she's not wanting to. Because why? Because it's different than what she's been through, or it's different than what she's ever had to do, or it's more effort than she's ever had to put in. I want to preach this morning just for a few minutes, and we only have a few minutes, out of the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 9 through 14, I'll read it. And like I say, I've explained my, learned this, but if you're visiting with us, you'll see we'll struggle through reading this. But they'll have it on the screen. You can read it on your own. It says, "And now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand." Everybody say withered hand. "And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him. And then he said unto them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said unto the man, 'Stretch out your hand.'" Everybody say, "Stretch out your hand." And it says, check this out. It says, "And he stretched." Before the miracle took place, he had to get to a place where he was willing to stretch. We'll talk this morning about what you're going through specifically. Specifically, God has great things in store for you. Specifically, in your family, on your job, in your finances, in your health, in your arena of life. The reason why you're in that arena of life, because God has purposed and destined you to be great and do great. He has nothing but great plans in store for you. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good, not of evil. Plans to give you a future. Plans to give you a hope. But the thing about it is this. He knows that a lot of times, because of what we've been through, where we were born, what other people have done to us, and circumstances that a lot of times were out of our control, or a lot of things that we've allowed ourselves to get into, we have found ourselves in a crippling situation. Amen. And the reason why God don't rescue us out of those crippling situations is because He knows the potential that you have in you. And so I come this morning to tell you this. The word of the Lord for you today is this. You need to begin to stretch. And you need to begin to go forward. And you need to begin to understand that God has not abandoned you. He's not punishing you. He's not left you alone. What He's doing is He's strengthening you. And as you understand that He's strengthening, you know this. But when He said stretch, He didn't say reach out your hand. He said stretch. In the process of your stretching brings you to a place to receive. When you stretch, it brings you to a place where then the Father can add to you. But if you're not willing to be stretched, if you're not willing to be pulled, if you're not willing to be challenged, and if you're not willing to be put through what it takes to strengthen you, then you'll never have the ability to handle what God has for you. And the Bible says this, He can't give you anything you can't handle. That's what it says. He says He will never give you anything He can't handle without creating a way of escape. That's what it says. And so the thing about it is that works for good and for bad. The reason why a lot of our bank accounts aren't any bigger than what they are is because God has been trying to get us to a place to stretch us, but we've not allowed to stretch. We've been resistant in the areas of the finances and things, and therefore, because we can't handle this one, there's no way God can allow us to handle that one. The Bible says, if I'll be faithful in the little, He'll make me ruler in the much, meaning there is a stretching season. If I can't hold my temper when somebody smarts off to me, then God can never put me in a place of influence that I would not make Him look bad when lots of eyes are on me. Why? Because I haven't allowed the stretching process to take place. Stretching is an amazing thing. I brought a couple. I was trying to think, how can I demonstrate stretching this morning? And, you know, a lot of times stretching is like bending, and these are just really neat to explain. See, these are just ordinary. And there's nothing special about them. My little girls love these things. But if I gave them to them like this, they'd think, meh, and just leave them in the back seat. But when I put them through a bending process, and I put them through a stretching process, and I begin to pull and tug on them, there's an energy that's released on the inside of them that takes these things from just being ordinary to cool. Now, if the lights would go off, they would glow, and that's cool. Another process of stretching to show you is this. Got a rubber band. I talked about a rubber band a couple Wednesday nights ago. But rubber bands are amazing. They solve a lot of problems. How many of you guys have ever had a rubber band before solve a problem for you? I've had a lot of problems. Rubber bands solve all kinds of... You go up to my tool shed right now, and you'll find rubber bands keep the place together. You know, and thing about it is, a rubber band is useless. Useless. Unless it's been put through a stretch. If I just hold a rubber band and try to get it to do something right now, it's limp, it's dead, it doesn't do anything but take up space. But when you begin to stretch a rubber band, the stretching process of a rubber band is what gives the rubber band the power to hold things together. Why is your family and your marriage so tough? Because God's stretching you. He's expecting you to be used to hold your family together. Why is things so hard on your job? Why are they expecting so much out of you? Because God is stretching you. Because when He stretches you, He's going to put you over everything that you're under right now when you allow Him to stretch you. When you allow God to stretch you, it puts an energy in you that propels you places you can't go. Like right now, if I took this simple rubber band and I let it go on its own, gravity takes over and wins. But if I were to take a rubber band and I put a little stretch behind it, I want you, the very forces that were holding it down no longer hold it down, it propels to go places it couldn't go before. Tell you, we hate the idea and process of stretching, but you need to understand something. God causes you to have to go through stretching situations so that you can go places and do things that you could never do before because He knows the potential He has in you. So it's actually a trust. If you've been through a stretching circumstance lately, you need to know that God's trusting you. He's building in you something that can change. But let's read this real quick there. The Bible says that there was a man with the withered hand. What is that? I'll tell you, every one of us can identify. Now, when you read in the Bible and you read about all the different kinds of miracles that Jesus did, this would fall in the kind of the category of the little miracles. Wouldn't you agree? Because, like I say, this is one of those miracles that wouldn't seem that important or wouldn't seem that big of a deal. Because, you know, in the Bible, Jesus showed up, and a lot of times there were real problems going on. There were real issues. There was Lazarus had died. That's a real issue. A family had lost a member here. And that's one that was devastating and would change everything. That you can understand why Jesus took time out of His busy schedule to fix that one. When He came across blind people, He would stop, take time out of His schedule, and open their eyes because those are big issues. You know, blindness is something that totally affects and changes your life. You know, there are issues in, you know, in the Bible where it says that lame men could not walk. They were having to be carried around or laid away. And those issues, Jesus took time to heal, and you can understand that. But this is one of those issues that's weird to me because it's not that really that big. Because how many of you guys have ever met somebody with a withered hand? I've met people with a withered hand. What I've learned in the process of living, people that have withered hands, they learn to get through life even with this limiting ability. You know, I've met people with withered hands and they can still dress themselves. They just have to do it a little different. They can clap. They just have to usually take the good hand and bring it over to the bad hand. They can feed themselves. They just do it differently. They build these patterns to be able to get through life normally, even though they have this great disability or even this great limitation. I want you to know, I believe this story is in here for this reason. Every single one of us in here can be represented as this man with the withered hand. Because every one of us have an area in our life that is shorter or weaker than it should be. And because this guy had a shorter, weaker hand, it did affect everything that he was doing. But the fact of the matter is this, he was still able to get through it anyway. How many of you guys have felt like, you know what I'm saying, that you've been through a lot and it's been tough and you've gone through, but you know what I'm saying, you've got through it anyway and you're just glad you got through it. You felt that way before? Me too. I want to change that though. I want to change. I'm not just going to be happy getting through things anymore. I don't want to be happy with just getting by with it anymore. I don't want to be happy, you know, skating, you know, making it through to the other side and then just settling there. And I believe in this story, we find a man that had lived his whole life with a limitation or lived his whole life with a withered hand. And he came to church that day and decided, I'm tired of living a little bit less or a little bit lower than what I see other people having the potential or ability to do. And today's going to be the day something's going to change. Now, religiously speaking, you got to understand, in this story, the Bible says this. The Bible says that when he got there that day, there were a lot of religious people there. Religious things always say this. Religious things always have rules that say what can't be done. How many of you guys have ever met anybody religious and, you know what I'm saying, they never tell you what, when you come into a church, or they don't tell you what you can do in that. They always tell you what can't be done. The reason why you can't do these things, because people have taken the power of God and put them in limiting situations. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of times where you can't dress like that at church, or you can't, I mean, I tell you, there's been a lot of can'ts with me. But I learned a long time ago, religion was not my answer. In this story, religion there says you can't. Jesus said this, I want to help you in this situation. He even went as far to say this. He says, yo, religion said you can't do anything on Sunday, on the Sabbath. It's against the rules. I love it that Jesus is willing to go against any rule that you've ever grown up and under to be able to make sure that you get the help you need. Because he said this, if a sheep falls into a pit, it is not wrong, even traditionally, on the day you're not supposed to reach down and help a sheep. That tells me this. that today the heart of Jesus is this. Traditionally, religiously, past experience that you've been through might say there is no help for you. And you're just going to have to keep doing what you've been doing. But Jesus is here today and he's saying, I have come specifically to get you out of whatever situation you've gotten yourself in. And if you have fallen in a pit, if you've got a weak hand, if you are lacking or are you short, if you're depressed, if you're heavy burdened or you're broken, I don't care what day it is, I don't care what anybody else thinks. The will of God is to help you today. What is a withered hand? You know, there's a lot of reasons why a man had a withered hand. One of them could be disability. He was born that way. There are a lot of us here this morning that have been facing an impossibility in your life, and the enemy has convinced you of the idea that you were born this way. Your dad did it. Your dad's always done it. Your grandpas and father, you were born into this. I want you to know something. Those are called generational curses, and they can be cut off. Just because you were born a certain way does not mean you have to remain that way. See, he could have been weak in this area of his life because he was born that way. God was there to help him. Some people may be in here. The guy could have had a withered hand because he'd been hurt. He'd went through an accident. Somebody may have made a mistake on the job and broke and crumbled, crushed a hand. And he had to pay the price for what somebody else did the rest of his life with a withered hand. I'm here to tell somebody here today that if you will be willing to do what God is going to call you to do today, it doesn't matter what anyone else has done to you in your past. They may have hurt you and everything they did was wrong, but I'm here to tell you this. Your hand does not have to stay withered. God can heal a hurt in you in a way that no one else can. And the whole reason why he came was to help today. Some people, this guy could have been had a withered hand out of abuse. People that were supposed to protect him and help him did not put up the walls that needed to happen. And there became an abuse. Someone may have broke his arm, or someone may have, you know what I'm saying, kicked him, or somebody may have stepped out. I don't know the abuse. But it has life-changing effects on people. When you've been through an abusive situation, I understand. It puts you in a place that you have to learn to do things that other people don't have to learn to do just to get through. But I'm here to tell you, he's here to help you today. You may be here this morning, and you've got a withered hand because you've been in fights with people. I don't know. This guy may have been the best fighter in the bar. And maybe one night he threw a punch and hit the guy in the back of the head and it crushed his hand. I don't know. You might be a fighter in here this morning. You might have been going through your whole life fighting everything you can fight. You've fought authority. You've fought everything. And you've come to a point where you've realized all of that fighting hadn't done nothing but caused you to be weak and crippled. You've gone as far as you can go and you can't go anymore. I'm here to tell you, if you've come to the point of you're tired of having to fight your way through life, there's a helper here that is willing to pull you out of a pit. This guy may have had a withered hand simply because muscles didn't develop in that arm like they were supposed to. It may have just been weak, a little hand. A little hand had gotten, and you may be here and you say, Cricket, I'm just so weak. There's nothing I can do about what the enemy's tried to do to me. I want you to know something. There's help for you today. You may be here and you have a withered hand because of a stroke. We used to have a precious lady in this church, and we got to do her funeral several years. She went home to be with the Lord. And her name was Gloria Thompson. And she was perfectly healthy and whole, but she had had a stroke. And when she did, it drew that hand up. And it's like the whole right side of her body, I want to say right, I can't remember, was crippled and drawn in and withered. Y'all remember Brother Maurice? Y'all remember Sister Gloria? And oh, what a gifted lady she was. She made my babies a picture book with needle and thread, and I can't imagine the hours she put into that for my second child, Haley, that she put in, because everything that I take for granted was extremely hurt. Because what is a stroke? When someone gets under high stress and high circumstances and high pressure for an extended period of time, things can happen in you and it causes a stroke and it paralyzes. You may be here today and you've just been under so much pressure and under so much stress for so long that You've gone crippled in certain areas. You're exhausted. You're tired. You can't take another step, but now you can't use any parts of it anymore. I want you to know He's here to help you today. Most people with learning, with withered hands, they learn to get through life anyway. They just learn how to work around those circumstances, situations. I want you to know that's not God's way. God don't want you to have to live through this stuff and have to keep carrying this. I'm just getting by with this stuff. He wants to fix this stuff so that you can reach your full potential. The Bible says this, that Jesus looked at him, saw his situation. It didn't go into great detail on why he was in that circumstance. It just said he had a withered hand. And you would think compassionate Jesus, loving Jesus, the one that had, you know, reached down and put mud in other people, that reached down and touched somebody. You would think this. You would think Jesus in this circumstance would have reached out and took him by the hand. Won't you know something? God's not in the business of spoiling you. He's in the business of blessing you. And if you want a daddy that will spoil you, you're too old to be spoiled. I spoiled Isla for 7 months. Those days are over. We let her cry it out 2 nights ago, and it was hell on me and Jennifer. I'm telling you what. We sat in there, that bed just rubbing her head for like 2 hours. The baby screaming. But it was good for her. You've got a dad that loves you. And what Jesus told this guy to do is he said, you know what? I could reach down there and take you by the hand. But what I need you to do is be able to stand on your own. I need you to be able to reach your potential and do all that I put in you the abilities to do. And so Jesus told him, he said, stretch your hand. Now, for a man with the withered hand, it's tough to stretch a hand. Have you ever? How many of you guys have ever met someone with a withered hand? And what's unique about it is this. I've almost seen everything. I've went up to people with a withered hand, and they always stick that withered hand out to be shook. Have you ever shaken somebody's withered hand? It's amazing to me. I'm not knocking it by any means, because do you know how much bravery that takes? Do you know how much heart that takes? To be willing to say, you know what, I know I got this limitation, and I don't care what anybody else thinks, and they offer you that hand. A lot of us don't offer up our withered hand because we're worried about what people think. We're worried about what other people are going to do. We're worried about what people may say. I want you to know something. If you're here with the withered hand, Jesus is telling you, you're going to have to get to a place where you don't care what people say. What you're going to do is you're going to move to a place, and you're going to have to be willing to do what He says. And this is what He said. He said, stretch your hand. And it was not easy for Him. But this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, He stretched His hand. Stretch has the ability to change your entire circumstance and situation. Stretching has the ability to allow you and cause in you the abilities to do more than you've ever been able to do. Some of you have been going through what you're going through, and you've been belly aching and whining for so long, and you're going to stay in this mess until you decide that, you know what, this is not for my harm, this is only for my good. If He hasn't reached out and taken me by the hand yet, His hand is only an arm length away. All I have to do is allow the stretching process to happen, because He will not let me go. The Bible says this, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you will reach your hand out, you will stretch, you will allow the stretching process to do what it's supposed to do. If you will allow it to extend you in the way it's supposed to, it will cause you to be able to do more than you ever did. But this is the problem. This is why you need to hear this scripture. Philippians 3, verse 12 says this, now that I have already obtained, or I am ready, or am already perfected, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on. All right? It says that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also lay hold of in me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, he's saying, I haven't arrived yet. But one thing I do. Everybody say, one thing I do. forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He said, this one thing I do. No, and it, when you read that, it sounds like there were two there. He said, I'm forgetting what was behind and I'm reaching. I want you to know something. You can't do one while you're doing the other. You cannot reach forward while you're holding on to what's behind. There's some of us in here today that cannot go forward until we come to the decision just to let things that have happened to us in the past go. The Bible says, I have to let go of those things in the past. I have to let go. See, in the Bible says that there was a group of people that he caused to come out of Egypt and he delivered them in a great and mighty way. The Bible says he delivered them out of a great and mighty way. He got them into the wilderness, and because they were spoiled rotten, they thought he should bottle feed them every single day. You got us out here, God, and now we don't have no food. Do you remember that? Do you know why they couldn't be grateful? Do you remember what life was like before you had the Lord even involved in your situation? Do you remember what life was like when you were, before you were saved? What hope did you have then? See, they were in complete slavery. God got them out of slavery. And here you'll find them in Exodus chapter 16 saying this, God, you got us out here, now you're not even feeding us. So God said this. He said, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to cause the dew to fall on the ground. While you sit in your tent, I will cause food to fall on where the dew lays. When you wake up, the dew will turn into bread and it will turn into manna. When it turns into manna, then what you have to do is you have to get up, get out of your tent, and you have to go pick up your manna. Now it says this, each to his own, each according to as much as he wants to eat. So you have to go and you have to pick up as much as you want to eat. It says some will pick up a little, some will pick up a lot, but whatever you need for your tent, I will make available for you, but I'm not going to put it on your table. Why would he not put it on their table? Because he knew these people needed to grow. And so you know what they did? They started grumbling and complaining. You want me to tell you who I know needs to grow? The people that are complaining about everything in their life. This is what they said. They said this. They said, we remember the leeks and the onions that we had. In Numbers 15, it says, we remember the leeks and the onions we had in Egypt. God has set them free. Problem with it is, he set them free, but they didn't change their attitude. My little baby, right now she don't realize what I'm doing for her is getting her to where one day she can live a life that she had no idea was even available for her to live. And she may think right now I'm being mean and hateful and she's throwing fits and crying and kicking and tampering and whining. I mean, she ain't always mad. She does this phase where first she's mad for the first 20 minutes. Then she tries the sad. And that's the one that about gets me every time. Because she'll tuck her little lip out and it'll start shaking. And I'm like, Jen, I got to feed her. And Jen says, no, you're not going to feed her. And we'll go back and forth. But Jen always wins and I don't feed her. And the thing about it is this, because she needs to be able to do it on her own. Because Paul says, I desire to feed you the meat, but you can't handle it, so I have to give you the milk. What God is doing in your life, what you're going through, and that stretching and that region, and that pain that you're going through right now, he's just getting ready to bless you in a way that you had no idea was able to bless. Thing about it is, if you don't change your attitude, if you're still having the same appetite that you had when you were in Egypt, see, they wanted onions and leeks. He gave them manna. They wanted onions and leeks. If they would have said, you know what, I'm sick of eating Egyptian food, and I'm not going to eat Egyptian food anymore. Man, look at all this manna. There's more than I can eat laying right here. They would not have spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Their attitude cost them everything. See, the inward enemies are always the harder ones to fight than the outward enemies. It's never usually an outward battle. It's always an inward battle that's keeping you held where you're at. It's the way you think about it. It's the way you feel about it. And it's the way you talk about it. And it's the attitude you have about it. What you need to understand is this. When he saves you, he got you out of what you were, and he's already rescued you. And if you keep an attitude of gratitude, instead of complaining about all that you're going through, and you say, you know what? I may not have thought I would ever like manna. But God, if you gave it to me, then it's good. Because they didn't eat manna. They were on their way to a land that flowed with milk and honey. You might be eating manna right now, but that's not God's long-term plan. But if all you got an appetite for is what you've always had, if you got the same attitude and the same thoughts and the same words and the same feelings and the same friends, and you're keeping an appetite for everything you said, you're never going to get to what God wants you to have. So it takes a stretching. You say, well, Cricket, I'm comfortable over here. Get out of being comfortable. Stretch. Rise. Because if you will stretch, there's nothing you can't reach. Do you understand? The blessings that God has for you, he's not one of those men, God, that dangles the carrot in front of the donkey just to get him to pull an ox or pull the cart. No. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So if you're going through it right now, you need to know something. He's just getting ready to pour it on you. He's getting ready to give it to you. You've just got to allow God to stretch you. You're not losing. You're not failing. You haven't made God mad. He's not disappointing you. If things are hard, He's making you strong. You stretch out your hand. But see, what happens is usually we stretch out our hand, and when it hurts, oh, God didn't want us to do that. So what else? We start trying to figure out a reason why or a way to or whatever. What you need, if it hurts a little bit, keep holding your hand toward God's way. If you will keep reaching toward doing it God's way, I'm telling you, what will happen is them muscles, them tendons, them bones, they will all extend and they will all go farther than what you could, and you will have more than you've ever thought you had. I want to tell you this and I'm done. Your attitude about the change or the stretch must change. Because if you don't, if you keep the same attitude about what God's allowing you to go through that you had before God set you into this, you'll never get out of it. It will be the end of you. But if you will take the attitude of gratitude and say, God, thank you for trusting me enough. Because I know if you wouldn't have let me go through this, I would still be a slave, living the way I've always lived, doing what I've always done. But you've trusted me. This is what the Bible says. We want to close with this. Isaiah 54 says this. It says, O sing, O barren, you who have not born. I don't know, and there's no kids in here. I can go grab a little bit. Man, I tell you, when a lady has a baby, her body stretches in ways that freaked me out. I had no idea. Did not know stuff like that could happen. And I tried to talk her out of making me go in that room. And she's like, no, you need to. I was like, no, I don't need to. That's crazy. The ways that Jennifer's body had to stretch. But because she was willing to stretch in those ways, I hold these little babies that are the greatest joys of my life besides my relationship with the Lord. But had she not willing to go through the pain and the stretch, I never. And so if you're here and you've not experienced, if you've not gotten the victory yet, or you've not held the child yet, or if you're still going through the pain, you need to know this. Oh, sing, oh, barren. Because if God's got you going through the stretching, you can know this, the promise is on its way. You who have not born yet, it said this, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. In other words, those that haven't been through it yet, start singing, because you need to know something. The child is coming. God's blessings will be here. Then it says this, verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. If you'll let God stretch you and pull on you and take you through these things that you didn't think you could handle, you need to know something. If you're being stretched, you can handle it. You can handle it because you're not going through it alone. Like I said, all things are possible with God. You're not going through it alone. He's with you. He's in you. This will not destroy you. You will come out of this on the other side. But when you come out of it on the other side, you will be better and bigger than you've ever been before. And this is what I say, enlarge your tent and let them stretch out your curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Then you need to run after this thing as hard as you can. The very area that you're stretched in, I'm telling you, I don't know where you're at. I've been stretched in my faith and my finances. And, you know, I've just decided, you know what, if things are getting tight, I'm going to reach toward God and do it the way. I've been stretched in the area of my health. I've had to reach toward God and do it. I've been stretched in the area of relationships and have to stretch toward God and do it. I don't know what step you need to take, but if you're not taking a step toward the faith step, you're not doing it God's way. If you're just sitting and waiting for God to put the bottle in your mouth, things are not going to change. You'll be being bottle fed the rest of your life. This is what it says. Enlarge your tents, all right? Strengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. I tried to get a Stretch Armstrong. How many of you guys remember Stretch Armstrong? I drove by Toys R Us yesterday. I tried to get one. And they didn't have one. But it's this little man that's about this big. And what happens is you grab him by the arms and you start pulling. And that thing, the very purpose of the toy is to see how far you can pull him. Because the thing about it is, you can pull him all out and let him go. And even when the straightened over, he pulls right back into shape. I'm telling you, what you're getting pulled in directly, you think this is changing me forever. You watch, when God lets you go, it's still going to be you. But the thing about you is you're going to be able to do more than you could do before. Let him stretch you to the right, to the left. And your descendants will inherit nations, it says. It says, and make desolate cities inhabited. And then verse 4 says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. I don't know about you, but the areas that that stretching's going on in me, one of the greatest fears is, what's everybody going to think when I fail? What's everybody going to think when this don't work out? And so I start getting the attitude that God can fail. You need to know something. God cannot fail. And if you don't understand God cannot fail, then you need to get the understanding that God has never failed. Tell me one time in your past that He has. Tell me one time in your past that He let you down. Now, He may not have gave you onions and leeks like you wanted. He may have given you manna because it's taking you to the promised land with land flowing of milk and honey. But the thing about it is, He did not let you fail. As a matter of fact, when you came through what you came through, nobody looked at you in shame. Everybody looked at you saying, wow, look how good God has been to that person. I want to tell you something this morning. You're just a rubber band. All that stress, all that headache, all that pressure that you're under, it will not break you. It's about to launch you in the name of Jesus. How many of you guys need God to release some power in your life today? That's what happens. That's what happens. After the stretch, power's released. After the stretch, power's released. But it's just not in God's ability anymore. It becomes in your ability. Because the work that He's done in you. If you're here this morning, I want to simply pray for you that God would release in the stretch power in your life. If you're here and you say, Cricket, I'm being stretched to my limits and I need power to get through what I'm going through. Would you simply stand to your feet? I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. This was not sent to destroy you. This was not sent to be your end. This was sent by the enemy. But God is using it. Joseph said this. The brothers came up and said, we're so sorry we did this to you. And this is what Joseph said. He said, you didn't do this to me. What the devil meant for bad, God has used for good. You've got to let go of whatever offense. You've got to let go of whatever fear. You've got to let go of whatever past. You've got to let go of whatever you come from. You've got to let go of the past. And you've got to reach toward what God has for you. What does God have for you? It's better than what you have right now. It's better than what you have right now. So you need to start reaching toward better things. You need to start reaching toward better things. You need to start reaching toward, better jobs. You need to start if every single person in here this morning would start reaching for better things in their life, you'll see it before the end of the year. I'm telling you, and y'all know I'm not prophetic, but I'm telling you, if you'll reach for better things in your life, I told you this at the beginning. The Lord told me this was a year of opportunity. There are going to be opportunities come about in your future. And I said that in January, that if you will take the opportunity, opportunities aren't given to you, you have an opportunity to take them. If you'll take the opportunities, you'll take a rise up, it said, take a step in education, take a step in, you know, a relationship, take a step. If you'll take them this year, the opportunity, and I'm telling you this, as sure as anything, if you will reach toward whatever it is in your life that's causing you this pain, to doing it God's way, if it's financially, you need to tithe. If it's health, you need to change your diet. If it's relationship, you need to humble yourself. If it's family issues, you need to find somebody that you can talk to about your family issues. So, Craig, that's sticking my withered hand out there. Exactly. It's a stretch. But it says, when he stretched. If you're dealing with depression, you need to let somebody know. Stretch, reach out and get somebody to help you and pray with you. If you're battling anything, you need to stretch. And if you will stretch toward God's way of doing it right now, I'm telling you, before the end of the year, you'll see this thing change. Somebody needs to go to rehab. I'm telling you, it's a stretch and I understand, but somebody in here needs to go to rehab. It will change your life. If you take that stretch, God will strengthen you in ways you never thought you could strengthen. Father God, I pray every person standing right now. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would release power inside of each one of them right now. God, they're up because they're stretched. God, they're at their breaking point in many areas of their life. And God, I ask you right now to release power, release energy, release joy, release provision. Release, Father God, into their life right now in the name of Jesus, your perfect will for them. I thank you, Father God, that you are strengthening our cords. You're stretching our curtains. And just as Jabez prayed, Lord, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. I thank you that every single person in here, their territory is getting larger in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.